We turn to Psalm 107, and I have four texts, but don't worry, they're virtually identical. In Psalm 107, verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And in verse 13, just the odd word different, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And in verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord, and he saveth them out of their distresses. And verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Psalm 107 shows us four examples of those who are in great trouble, but who turn to the Lord and are delivered. And these four examples are there to help us in any situation. The same principle applies. Whatever the trouble, whatever our circumstances, the same thing applies, that we cry unto the Lord and he will deliver us from our trouble. But it is worth looking at the four choices of example that the Lord does give to us. We read first of all that he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. All over the world, men and women meet trouble. And though they are gathered in numbers from the east and from the west and the south and the north, yet every trouble hits us as individuals. And here we have in this example, if you like, the great unloved. Those who would say, no one cares for my soul. Those who, if you are mildly hostile, would say to them that they're just thinking about themselves. They're full of self-pity. But we do face every difficulty by ourselves. We do wander in the wilderness of this life in a solitary way. We meet our troubles. And though we have a church fellowship, and it is possible to share troubles together, which does help, yet mostly we go over and over and over them again in our minds as individuals. And the same thing applies to children. We cry unto the Lord in our distresses. It may be that a word from a grown-up would put them instantly right, but they feel big to us when we're small, when we're young. And we may learn as young to trust in the Lord, to turn to him about that particular thing, find that he will help us and deliver us, and love him forevermore. But it doesn't matter if the reason we turn to him is just a small distress. A small distress may be big to us. So here, from all over the world, it applies to people all over the world, but they wander in solitary ways. We do not find, perhaps, anyone to join up with. They found no city to dwell in. It may be that we are out of our resources, and we spend most of our time at starvation level. It may be difficult for that very reason, that our soul faints within us, or even indeed our body. We come to an early death, to an early grave. And so, what should we do? And the psalmist, in repeating the answer, drives it home. Now, the Lord gave this psalm, and the Lord is saying these things to us. Cry unto me in your trouble. Cry unto me in your trouble. It's good to go to the doctor. He will be the second cause. It's good to take tablets because they will be the third cause. But it's best to go to the first cause, to God, who gives the second cause and the third cause. Always turn to the Lord in your trouble. A minute later, you may go to the doctor. A few hours later, you may have your pills. But always the Lord first. The Lord first. Commend how you feel to him. Say what you're feeling. Say how you're afraid. A Christian may be afraid. We're afraid because although we know we're going to heaven, there are pains and we don't want them and we don't like them. There are unknown feelings that come over us when we don't feel well. There is the combinations when one thing in the body begins to go wrong, all the others go wrong with it. There are all sorts of things, but we bring them to the Lord first. And if we do so, he will deliver us. This psalm is about deliverance. And if he delivers us, we are, so grateful. We'll love him all our life. And while this psalm is about deliverance, it also tells us what happens when we're not going to be delivered in the way that we have, that in fact we have a terminal illness. And while it is always open to us to say, Lord, please deliver me from what I'm going through, he may prefer to say, it's your time to die. It's your time to leave this world. And then the turning to the Lord has the same effect. Just as the Lord would deliver if it's something which we've got to go through in order to go to glory, he will comfort. So whether we turn to the Lord who will relieve our distress, or whether we return to the Lord and what we'll know is comfort, that's very, very important, just as important to know the Lord's presence. There was the boy recently, wasn't there, who was stabbed in Croydon. Now, he wasn't a Christian. Let's suppose he might have been. He was badly stabbed. He knew he was dying. So he said to the people round about, I don't want to die. That's exactly what we would feel, isn't it? But he was going to die. And if he had known of thee and turned to thee, he would have had comfort at that tragic, difficult time. And there are lots of circumstances like that. It occurs daily all over the world in road accidents. It occurs daily all over the world with gunshots and war. People are suddenly struck. They have but a few minutes to live. And that, of course, is why I read to you from Numbers 21. What did the Lord say? To those who have but a few minutes to live, who've been bitten by a serpent, look unto me and live. And he intended that all who looked to him then would live. But we look to the Lord, and he delivers or he comforts according as he sees fit. As individuals, then, we may cry out to the Lord. It may be that we think to ourselves, maybe we're not Christians, you see. Maybe we think, well, it seems reasonable thing in my mind to cry out to God. Maybe you think at that time for the very first time, oh, perhaps there's a God, perhaps I'll cry out to him. And then you think to yourself, no, I won't do that. My mum and dad will think I'm daft. The family will think I'm daft. The neighbours will think I'm daft. But why throw overboard the opportunity for discovering God because of those you see round about you? They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. We may go to him in confidence, and either we will be delivered, or we will be comforted, which is more than delivered, because it means we're going to glory. The result of that, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Sad situations bring many people to the Lord. And when they do come to the Lord, oh, that they would praise him, that they would always love him, that they would always serve him. These things are worth so much that we give our heart to him, that we set our love upon him, that we will always serve him. Difficult situations do turn people to the Lord. We had a member of one of my earlier churches who'd been a prisoner of war. I forget the exact details, but this particular man, who was German, afterwards married an English girl, but was German and taken prisoner of war, he was the only survivor in his platoon of 100 people or whatever it was. And his reaction was, I'm the only one who was spared. Surely that was the Lord's doing. And he turned to the Lord, and he was grateful to the Lord. And the Lord lifted him out of his distress, brought him out of his troubles. He spent 1 or 2 years, I think, in a prisoner of war camp, met an English girl, married, being saved, was in our church. But the Lord looks to those who have been in darkness, and he looks to those who've been satisfied. Their longing soul has turned to him, and they've met him, and they've been delivered. And then the Lord gives another example. Prisoners, if you like, or the rebellious, if you like, but those who clearly have gone wrong. They've either gone badly wrong against society, or they've gone badly wrong against God. Because these particular prisoners were Israelites who'd been taken captive, probably from Jerusalem, and taken to Babylon or somewhere similar, and therefore they were languishing in jail. But it's applicable to everybody who's in jail. Prisoners often think about where they've got to, what's going on in their lives, what they've done, the failures they've made. And some turn to the Lord. Many get more bitter, but prisoners do turn to the Lord. There's always a big take-up for Bibles in prison. Not only because they've nothing better to do, but because many of them are feeling what a mess they've made of their lives. But they're feeling that out of bitterness. The mess they made was because they rebelled. They walked. If it wasn't a rebellion against God by turning away from God, as it was in the example here, it may be they walked out of home as teenagers. It may be they slept on the streets. It may be they found some of the abuses that happen to those who run away from home and walk out on the streets. Maybe they've left their life partners, their wives or their husbands. And they've met with trouble, and they've got into trouble, they've stolen, or they've stabbed, or they've attempted to kill, or they've robbed, they've done whatever, in order to satisfy the needs that they have. So they are in darkness, and in the shadow of death, because they're bound in affliction. and I. But there's another spiritual form too, that those who've run away from God, those who were brought up perhaps in Christian parents, those who were brought up perhaps in Sunday school, thought that it would be a good thing, now they're teenagers, just to leave it all behind. Undoubtedly it led to the rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus to his downfall. But it's darkness. If you turn away from Christ, you're sitting in darkness, darkness in spirit. You don't know where you're going, you don't know what life is about, you don't know about the good things that God intends, you don't know about his law, and therefore you're getting yourself into worse trouble all the time. They're in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction. I won't deal with the death bit here, but their affliction is such, and their sins have been such, that they're dead unto God. But the Lord enables them to cry out. And if they cry out in that situation of being rebellious against God or against man, of committing offences against God or against man, they're in trouble because they rebelled against the word of God, and the Lord brought down their heart with labour. And it may be that some people have a strong sense, because they got themselves into trouble when they were late teenagers, early 20s. When it comes to their 40 and they're beginning to think a bit differently, they think, but I rebelled against the Lord. I despised his advice. I can't turn to the Lord. And what's being said here is, of course, they rebelled against the word of God. They contemned or despised the counsel of the Most High. And the Lord has brought them down, but only that he might bring them out of their distresses again and restore them. Restore the years, as the Bible says, that the locusts have eaten. It's a wonderful expression, isn't it? The locusts eat absolutely everything in their path. And that expression, the years that the locusts have eaten. You can be 37, you can be 45, but there's nothing left in your life worth living for, worth doing. The locusts have eaten absolutely everything. What began with just a small turning aside from the Lord, like it might begin with one or two locusts, suddenly overwhelms and takes away every meaningful thing out of life. But turn to the Lord in that sort of distress. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then we turn not to the rebellious, but to the idiots, the fools, the ones who, if you like, they're the ones who perhaps hear the words of the Lord Jesus, and it falls on stony grounds, and immediately the birds take them up. Maybe they don't like concentrating. We know children like that. Can't concentrate on even a 10-minute story about the Bible or anything. But it doesn't need to be just about that. Here they are. They don't think about anything worth thinking about. They don't think about anything intelligent. They're just foolish. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Fools get themselves into all sorts of trouble. By definition, they do foolish things because they act foolishly. Again, as the rebellious, their years have passed by, but they don't know what they're missing. But they don't like their food. They've not had much. And now they're feeling a bit ill, and they've gone off their food. And they draw near to the gates of death. Even the fool, the one who's not given thought to anything, whether it's any serious subject of man's learning, to say nothing of thinking of God, even such a one will be aware of death. I'm sure you find it very difficult if you meet somebody or you know somebody who's dying and you want one last opportunity to preach the gospel to them. Where do you begin? What should you say? You can't overload them. You can only give them the tiniest bit, but that tiniest bit will be enough. And here are those who are drawing near to the gates of death. They don't know anything unless the Lord puts into their mind. They've never studied, they've never read the Bible, they've never read anything else. They've just gone through life seeking perhaps pleasure, perhaps anything, just diversion. But they're dying like other people die. And the Lord brings it into the minds of some of them too, that they need to do something about it. And that something is to turn to the Lord. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. What were they? Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near to the gates of death. They've been afflicted because of their transgression, which they got into by reason of their folly. Some will know they've been fools. Some will admit they've been very silly with their lives, that they've wasted precious resources. Our bodies are very precious. They function marvellously. Think of the intricacy of the eye and of the ear. Think of all the parts of the body. Think of them working together. And yet we waste it all. Wasted on drugs, wasted on drink, wasted on anything. We waste our lives. Here are people who waste their lives. They've got nothing to commend them. And again, you are encouraged to turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord in that situation, and he will deliver you out of your distresses. And there's a further example, a fourth example. Travellers, well, not so much travellers, because the first ones were travellers, as merchants. I suppose people still lose their fortunes. But in the days of the old tea clippers, if the boat went down, then the most famous of men, the most well-dressed of families, lose their fortune and have to go into the workhouse. It was a reasonably regular thing that happened in the days of the sailing boats and the sea clippers, the tea clippers. Well, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, their work takes them into danger. Their work takes them into very difficult situations. But the Lord is in that. And the Lord is even in the situation because he commands the winds. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. I'm sure you noticed in the story about the Lord Jesus Christ that he rebuked the wind and the waves. If the wind stops, the waves will calm down. But he also rebuked the waves to calm them down quicker. But it's the same order here, you see. It's always that same. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, and that lifteth up the waves thereof. And in this wonderful description, you almost feel sick reading it, don't you? They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. You feel the problems, the difficulty. Remember that Saul knew that the life of, Paul knew that the life of those who sailed with him in his ship would be spared, but they still went into the sea and they still needed to cry to the Lord that they would be rescued and that they would come to land safely. Well, here at the merchantmen, wouldn't necessarily have to be sailors. It might be those whose work takes them into dangerous places. Pits, for example, in the days when there was, in this country, the old coal pits, Of course, there are diamond mines, there are mines of different sorts all over the world. But those who go into danger because their work takes them into danger, then they may cry out to the Lord. And they see the danger coming. If they're warned of the danger, if they feel uncomfortable in their lives, then's the time to turn urgently to the Lord. Maybe the danger will overtake them and they'll just need to be comforted in the instant that they know that they have. Just as a little aside to this, I mentioned being comforted in the few moments that they have. Suicide. That is self-murder. That's what the word means, two Latin words, the murder of oneself. Suicide. And it is obviously wrong in the sight of the Lord. Some suicide situations would give you a chance to repent. You could throw yourself off a bridge in front of the train before you hit the train. You could regret it or in a serious way you could repent. Things possible. But there are some ways of committing suicide where that chance is really not there. If you strangle yourself, for example, and there are other things to do. But if you have a split second, if you have a minute, if you have any time at all, use it to turn to the Lord to deliver you or to forgive you in your distress and comfort you. So they reel to and fro and staggered like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. But they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. They're glad because they be quiet, and he bringeth them into their desired haven. But they don't all turn to the Lord. Hence the repetition of the psalmist. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. There are those who have got into trouble, and they vowed to the Lord that if the Lord were to deliver them, they would serve him. They were delivered, and they didn't. Men are ungrateful. And it's not good to vow and to promise. The Lord would rather we didn't. He'd rather take the initiative with us. When the Lord has dealt kindly with our souls, let us not be ungrateful. Let us turn to him, praise him, thank him for his goodness. In verse 31, it is the word praise that is used, as it is in verse 8 and others. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Now, as I've often told you, there's not a great deal of difference between praise and thanksgiving. But praise is exploring the excellency of what someone has done. And the result, because the Lord has saved us, the Lord has delivered us, that's the time to praise the Lord, to think of the excellencies of what he has done and thank him. Jonah with the waves that were still. Jonah who went down and there was that fish prepared for him. All the ways that the Lord delivers any of us mean working things together for good and putting all things right and working them all at the same time. It deserves praise, not just thanksgiving, but praise that leads on to thanksgiving. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The psalm then tells us, no matter what mess you're in, doesn't matter if you've got yourself into the mess, doesn't matter if you deserve everything that you're getting, doesn't matter what other people think about you, it's you and the Lord. Turn to him in your distress, and you will meet with him, perhaps for the first time. Learn to love him. Learn to know that he'll do more things for you than he's done already. And so will the relationship of salvation be secured in your life from the great difficulties that you went through. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord turn us to himself. Amen.